So I think one of the things when I'm trying to explain storage to people is I explain to them that storage is great because it can do so many different things, but that's also what's really hard about storage is that it can do so many different things. And I think that was one of the challenges for the industry getting going. I think when we were starting to do storage in the early 2010s, everybody thought, okay, we're going to be building tons of storage all throughout the 2010s. And it really took a little bit more time for that to get going. I think one of the reasons for that is unless you were, a big utility who could just fund the storage projects on your balance sheet, you generally wanted financing. And so people had to figure out how to create revenue streams and demonstrate those revenue streams in a way to make financing parties happy to lend the money. So I think for a part of our conversation today, we're going to focus on what are those revenue streams. And Andy alluded to a little bit about some parties, I think, are contracting, others are not contracting and taking a different approach, and how you guys are approaching that market. So maybe I'll start with Jeff. Jeff, can you talk a little bit from your perspective about which types of revenue streams that storage can generate, you're focusing on, and how y'all are approaching that?
Yeah, no, definitely. So coming from the wind background again, with wind, you make your money and you make your revenue through, obviously the electrons, intermittent, getting pushed out onto the grid. You get it from renewable energy credits if they exist. And then you get it from a production tax credit, a stepped up $30 a megawatt hour or what have you around that. You compare that to batteries. And batteries, it's pretty much the same as natural gas, where, we are eligible, just like really efficient natural gas peakers for obviously energy around the clock, both day ahead and real time. We're eligible for reserves, 10 minute, 30 minute. We get capacity in most markets, et cetera. And so it's really, whenever we look at the revenue stack, the industry calls it value stacking. I've always hated that term because natural gas doesn't call it that. They just call it revenue. And so where we focus, it depends on the market. Like in some markets, you can make a lot of money right now on ancillary services products. In others, like there are super, super, aggressive ways to make money on energy arbitrage in real time if you're in the exact right spot. And so depending upon the battery, depending upon the time of year, depending upon congestion, it's in all of the above. So we have to participate in day ahead and real time market. We have 8 people on our team that program Python in order to run the algorithms, as far as how the battery is actually participating. And then you have to intersect that with from the regulatory environment, how to actually manage your state of charge. And so there's not a very clear and easy way in most of these markets in order to make money. And as such, you really have to have, that algorithm, algorithmically driven approach to revenue maximization.
Thanks, Jeff. Andy, what about you? What revenue streams are you focused on? And maybe how is that shaping which markets you're focusing your developments in?
Yeah, I would echo a lot of things that Jeff covered there. The way that the particular opportunities out there for storage are have kind of a typical lineup: ancillary services, capacity, various iterations of those depending on which market you're in, and then arbitrage, the opportunity to charge when prices are low and discharge when prices are high. And my lens on the space, those are kind of what I call the main food groups of revenues. And then ideally you have some capability of doing multiple of those at the same time. As you were outlining the question there, Becky, I do think that there are so many ways that storage fits into the market, so many problems that it solves, so many obvious ways that it can be a real contributor in the generation stack, that it can solve, a range of problems from, how much transmission we have to build incrementally to congestion to supporting the transition into more intermittent generation sources like wind and solar. And so I think that's led us all to perceive a large opportunity for storage to fit into the market. I think what has been challenging, and I think what there isn't as much awareness of, is how expensive the equipment still is. It's getting cheaper every year, of course, but it's very costly, particularly longer duration. And the round trip efficiency is still really not where we would like it to be. It's got quite a ways to improve on that front. And so I think when those items are improving year on year, and I think as the equipment gets cheaper, as the efficiency gets better, we're going to be able to fit it better into all of these ways that it has to fit into the market. But doing so now, as Jeff says, is really challenging. It's very different depending on which grid you're focused on, and the set of opportunities within each grid really differentiate quite a bit. We spend a lot of time focusing on grids with higher energy price volatility. A lot of our capabilities are configured to try to get the best application of the resource in those settings. But a number of grids that we see a lot of growth potential in, places like PJM, where there's a really robust capacity market, just by virtue of the way that the capacity market works, you don't see a lot of price volatility. So the opportunities in a place like that are going to be very different. I think really we've got, we're at a very early stage in how these projects get configured in the market, where the revenues come from. And I think we're going to be seeing a lot of innovation in this space, you know, shortly.